In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to offer a few reflections this morning on the texts that we just read from Luther's Small Catechism. In my first couple of years of college at Concordia, Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, I remember struggling with the whole question of why the real presence of Christ's body and blood was so important, why it was so important that it was the rock upon which the Protestant church largely was broken. And part of my struggle arose from these words, because as I read them, it said, these words, given and shed for you, are the main thing in the sacrament. So I thought, as long as everyone has the words, what's the big deal about the body and blood? But then upon a closer reading, maybe a few years later, it said that these words are the main thing in the sacrament. So what is the sacrament? Well, there you go back and look at the first question. And the first question says, the sacrament of the altar is the body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine. And then it was, oh, there's the connection. The body and blood of Christ deliver the forgiveness of sins. The body and blood of Christ deliver the promise of the forgiveness of sins. So in a sense, no body and blood, no promise of forgiveness of sins. They go together. And I thought, that's why it's so important. The gospel is at stake. The body and blood of Christ deliver the promise of the forgiveness of sins. So what's the forgiveness of sins then? We throw that word out all the time. Well, in all honesty, I think one of the best definitions I've run across comes from my own colleague, Dr. Okamoto. He often puts it this way. When God forgives us, he is basically saying, I promise not to let our past determine our future together. I promise that your past is not going to affect my future dealings with you. Isn't that awesome? Because often we talk about forgiving in the sense of burying the hatchet. And yet I suspect oftentimes we bury the hatchet mostly. We have a little bit of a handle sticking up out of the ground. Just so it's handy if I need to pull it out and throw it. You know what I mean. You're late today. Yeah, well, you were late last week. Well, but you've been late every day this week and 2 weeks before. But you know how it goes. You bring up the past and hurl it. But the body and blood of Christ delivers to you and me the promise that God will never dig up that hatchet and throw it at us. The promise will not affect our life with him. God promises that our past sinful life will not affect our future life with him. Now, a promise seeks faith. A promise engenders faith. A promise elicits faith. The whole purpose of making a promise is to instill confidence in someone that you're going to do what you promised to do. There's no other reason for making a promise. When God promises that he will forgive us our sins, that he will welcome us into eternal life with him, he makes that promise to instill in you and me the confidence that he will keep his word. But sometimes that's hard to swallow. We live in a world of human relationships in which promises broken are a constant feature. And because promises are broken, we often then try to bolster that promise by, I swear on the Bible that I will keep my promise, or I swear on my mom's grave that I will keep that promise, or something along those lines. And so I suppose one might even wonder whether God will keep his promise. His promise of forgiveness, his promise of new life, his promise of a new creation. Well, again, that's where the promise tied to the body and blood of Christ comes into play. Because the body and blood of Christ, the resurrected body and blood of Christ that was offered on the cross, is God's guarantee that he will keep his promise. It's because of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection that we know he is trustworthy to keep his promise. And now he gives to you and me that very body and blood on the basis of which he makes his promise. And so with that promise and with the body and blood, he seeks to instill within us the confidence God is good for it. He'll keep his word. And that confidence is what we as Lutherans call righteousness. That confidence, that faith, in a sense, is how we honor God. We take God at his word. We take his promise to be sure. And that's why the Catechism talks about faith, is that which makes one well prepared and worthy to receive the body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. God is good for it. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.